We are continuing, or going back to, I should say, we're going back to our series in Romans. So I want to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. As you may recall, the book of Romans is about the righteousness of God. And when I say the righteousness of God, what I mean is how God puts us in a right standing with himself, puts us in a right relationship with himself through his son Jesus. So that's what that book is about. And so turn there, and let me pray before we look at his word together. Hey, and Don, can you hear me? I grabbed the mic that you were using for Aaron for the special music, and it's real reverby, at least in my ears. So okay, let me pray, and then we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we thank you for your word and that it's true. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word right now. Give us understanding. Give us faith to believe what you've said. Help us to respond to you in faith and in obedience. And we pray that your spirit would work. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. A real common issue with teenagers is, and I've heard these stories with the youth group sometimes, is they'll say something like this, like there's somebody in my school that used to be my friend, but now they've turned on me, and they're going around the school spreading rumors and telling filthy lies about me, all right? Because people can be mean, right? People can be hurtful, and dare I say it, people can be evil. People can be jerks. Can I get a witness? We're not going to revel in it, but, you know, it can happen. All right, so, and as we grow up, like the settings that kind of thing happens, the settings change. Humans get a little more sophisticated in being jerks to each other. But it still happens. Like, we still have to deal with it. We still have to deal with people being hurtful towards us. How do you respond when people do you wrong? How do you respond to evil? Does it make any difference that you're a Christian, that you're a believer in Jesus? Does that affect at all the way that you're going to respond to people when they hurt you? The passage that we're going to look at today is about how we respond to evil. It's Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. So I'll read that, and then we'll jump in. Romans 12, starting verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. Because it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in so doing you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. This is God's word. So the beginning of Romans 12 starts a new section in the book of Romans, this is typical for Paul's letters. In the first part of the letter, Paul will write about what is true about what God has done for us. So he writes about how God has put us in a right relationship with himself through Christ, everyone who believes. That's what God has done. And then in the second half, or the second section of the letter, Paul writes about, it's a practical section. He says, since this is true, how does it affect the way that we live? How does it affect the, you know, our daily day-to-day life, especially in the way that we relate to God and the way we relate to other people? And so what he's talked about so far in Romans chapter 12 is our worship, that we present our bodies to God as living sacrifices. And then he talked about how we serve each other in the church by using our gifts that God has given us. And he's talked about how we love other people. We're called to love other people, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep. These are all practical areas of our life where knowing that God has put us in a right relationship with himself through Christ, it has a practical effect on how we live, okay? And now he's going to start talking about how we as Christians should relate to people who are doing things that are evil. And I don't have to convince you that there's evil in the world. Can I get a witness? Yeah, there's a lot of selfishness out there. There's a lot of cheating, lying, taking advantage of other people, insults, abuse, violence, fighting over who is first in line at Big Y. Is it not true that there's a lot of evil out there? And some of that evil is going to be directed at you. I'm sorry to say it, but you've probably experienced it, and you will again. Some of that evil is coming at you. So how do you respond to that evil? We who are believers in Jesus, we know that we're sinners. We know that God has forgiven our sins. And when we trusted in him, we turned away from our sin and we turned away from trusting in ourselves and we turned towards God in faith. And God forgave us from our sins. And then we live this life of trying to continually turn away from our sins. It's a life of continual repentance because there's still evil in our hearts. It's not rooted out totally yet, right? And we still got to make these daily choices of turning from sin. And one day, Jesus is going to come back, and he will eradicate evil from this planet and from our hearts, you know. It hasn't happened yet. And so, in the meantime, we live in an evil world, and there are other people that aren't even trying, you know. Or they have different standards for what is right and wrong. They make their own standard for themselves. So we're in the world, and it's an evil world, but we're not of the world. Who are the people that I'm talking about? The people that are doing evil that we have to respond to? And back in the last section in verse 14, Paul talked about persecutors. And so these are people who are trying to harm Christians because of our faith. In the first century in Rome, that was a real thing. You might be like cut out of your family if you came to faith in Jesus, or you might lose your job, and it wouldn't be long before there would be state-sponsored persecution of Christians. It hadn't started yet, but it would, okay? And in verse 20, it talks about enemies, okay? So that's kind of what he's getting at when he talks about persecutors and enemies. But also in verses 18... In verses 21, it just talks about evil in general. So anyone who commits a sin against us, regardless of their motives, it might not be because we're believers in Jesus. They're trying to get ahead and they're trying to put you down. So regardless of their motives, we have to respond to that evil that they are committing towards us. Okay, and I just want to tell you, when we look at this passage, we're not talking about international relations, okay? We're not talking about how a nation should relate to another nation. We're not talking about the criminal justice system or the court system. We're talking about our personal relationships with people who sin against us, okay? What difference does it make that we're believers in Jesus? And so the idea is we live in a world where people do evil, even towards us, and we have to respond to it. We live in an evil world. Okay. So since we live in an evil world, how do we respond to it? And there's a way that people typically respond when someone hurts them. This is like what's normal. Not just in our culture, just what's normal for humans. Okay? There's a way that people typically respond. They hurt the person back. You hit me, I'll hit back harder. You insult me, I'll insult you back. You post something online embarrassing about me, I can do that to you. You make me look bad at work, I'll find a way to sabotage your project. You mess with me, I'll find a way to get even. So the typical way to respond to evil is retaliation. It might not be right away. It might be subtle. It might be sophisticated. But the typical response is to find a way to make that person pay, to make them hurt. But Christians are called to do something different, something that's not normal, something that's countercultural. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we're called to love our neighbors, and this is the radical thing. We're called to love our enemies. Instead of retaliation, we're called to love. Love even people that intend harm towards us. There's a pattern in this passage. You may have noticed it. Three times Paul says, do not respond one way, but respond another way to evil. So look at verse 17. It says, do not repay evil for evil. And then it tells you how you are supposed to respond instead. Instead of repaying for evil, respond a different way. Verse 19, it says, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, do something else. Verse 21, do not be conquered by evil, but, and he tells you something else to do. So repaying evil for evil is retaliation. They do me wrong, I'll do wrong back. Avenging yourself is getting back at them. It's pretty much the same idea, right? Being conquered by evil is getting sucked into the evil and participating in it and perpetuating it. Okay, he says, don't do that. Evil does tend to perpetuate, doesn't it? It tends to keep going and to get worse over time. You can think of examples that have to do with violence. You know, like in the Balkan Wars, remember that in the 90s? The Balkan, like one group would attack another group and then they attack back and it just keeps on going and perpetuates. Or in Rwanda, such terrible violence that kept going on and on. It happens in the instance of abuse oftentimes. I mean, who is it usually that abuses a child? Someone who's been abused. So, like, they're abused, and then they pass it on to someone. It's awful, but that abuse perpetuates and keeps going. Or in an organization, or even a church or a family, there can be a culture of criticism and finger-pointing and blame, right? Oh, it's their fault. No, it's his fault. No, it's her fault. And it just keeps on going. It gets worse and worse. The evil perpetuates. The evil is like, it's like a petri dish with a little infection in it. And then it's this environment where the infection just spreads. It's like a virus, you know? Like there's a little bit of a virus and then it spreads from person to person and more it goes literally viral until there's a pandemic. You know, the evil is like that. It's like a chain reaction inside an atomic bomb. You know, like one little explosion hits another atom. Don't expect me to explain science to you, but you know what I mean. There's a chain reaction, and it gets bigger and bigger, and there's a terrible and enormous power in that. And what we're called to do is to break the chain, to not retaliate, not to seek revenge, not to hurt back. The way Christians are not to respond to people who do evil things is by doing evil back to them. We aren't supposed to seek revenge, to retaliate, to harm them, to do violence. We are not to return evil for evil. Okay. So if we aren't to respond with more evil, how are we to respond? And the short answer to that question is we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to love our neighbors, even our enemies, to do good for them. Three times, Paul goes back through it and says, don't respond like that. Instead, respond like this. And the main point that he's making is we're supposed to love our enemies, love people who intend harm towards us, and even do good for them. And he approaches it from different angles and gives more details. So let's look through this. If you look at verses 17 and 18, Paul says, don't repay anyone for evil, but, and he tells you two things. Give careful thought to what's honorable in everything, everyone's eyes. And then later he says, live at peace with everyone. So let's look at that first idea. Give careful thought to what's honorable in everyone's eyes. It's interesting that he says everyone's eyes. So it's not just about you, and it's not just about the person who did you wrong. There are other people who are affected too, and they're watching to see how you will respond. And God's working in their lives too. And so the way that you respond, you need to think about those other people who are watching, and what does God want to do in their life, in their lives? Okay, we need to give careful thought as what's going to be the best thing for the person who did us wrong, and also the community of people who are touched by the situation, the family, or the company, or the people in the social network, or in the neighborhood, or your town, your church. God is working in a lot of lives. God has goals. God has things he's trying to accomplish. And can we align our hearts with God's heart and try to think about what is going to be the right thing for everybody here? What is it that I can do that other people will look at and say, yeah, he handled this the right way? Okay, so we consider it carefully. You got to go slow. You don't respond right away. And I got to tell you, like, online, it's, like, so easy to go fast, right? Somebody sends a message or makes a post that's hurtful and wrong, and it can take about 2 seconds to blast something back, you know? And he's saying give careful thought. So slow down, you know? And often that means get some wise counsel. Sometimes the best response is to do nothing, just to let it go. Sometimes the best response is to say a kind word back. Sometimes we need to call out evil for what it is. And you say something like this, I'm not seeking to retaliate, but it needs to be known that what you did was not right, and here's why, and I'm gonna say this. I need to tell you that this was wrong. Call out evil for what it is. Sometimes you might need to file a police report. Like, that's going to be the best thing for the community to stop this evil, or, you know, report the person to HR, or, you know, find out what's the right channel here to stop the evil from continuing. God doesn't want evil to continue. God doesn't want us to perpetuate evil, but he also doesn't want them to keep on doing the evil too. So you got to think through carefully what's the right course of action. And you don't want to just react out of emotion. You want to give it careful thought, seek God's heart, and then take action. So, and then another thing he says in this circle through it is he says, live at peace with everyone. So our goal is to have peace. You see that in verse 18, live at peace with everyone. Our goal is to have harmonious relationships with our neighbors, even the people who hate us. There are some people that their MO is to seek out drama and conflict. That should not be us as believers in Christ. We should strive for peace as much as we can. Now, Paul's really realistic, isn't he? He says, if possible, you know, as much as it depends on you, live at peace. It's not always possible. Some people won't let you be at peace. You know, you can't control these people. You can only control yourself. So you do what you can, and then you leave the rest to God. In verses 19 and 20, Paul goes back through it. He says, don't do this, but do this. But he says, do not avenge yourself, but, and he mentions a couple things. The first thing, it's a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy, This is a psalm, really, in the book of Deuteronomy, a psalm that Moses wrote. And he says, you know, leave room for God's wrath. And he quotes that verse, you know, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Okay? That's from Deuteronomy. So if somebody does something evil, it's not just about you. It's not just about the person. It's not even only about the community of people who are watching. There's another party involved, and that party is God. God is involved in this, and we can't leave him out. God sees what's going on. God knows what's going on, and he's the one who ultimately will execute justice. He's going to make things right one day. God will do it. God will punish the wicked. Wasn't that cool in the scripture reading this morning? The psalm that the psalmist is writing, he says, there are these evil people that are oppressing me. But he's like, God has a heart for the oppressed. You know, God will protect them. God will do what's right. God will get back at them. God will make them pay. You know, I don't have to pay them back. God will repay them for what they've done. Okay? Vengeance does not belong to me. Vengeance belongs to God. It's his prerogative. So one day, God, there's going to be a judgment today. You know, he will punish the wicked. He's going to get revenge. Now, on this side of judgment day, he also executes justice sometimes. And he often uses governments, the criminal justice system, the court system. We're going to talk about that more next week. That kind of justice is partial. You know, it's imperfect. It's incomplete. But one day there will be a judgment day and there will be perfect justice. Okay? If you know that God avenges the victims of evil, that's a great resource for you. It's really difficult to do good towards evil people and to forgive them and to hold back from retaliating. It would be really difficult to do that if we thought they would get away with what they've done, right? But they're not going to get away with it. We know that God is going to make things right one day. He's going to punish the people who will do evil. So he says, vengeance is mine. You know, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay. We leave the retaliation to him. We leave the justice, the punishment to him. If I seek revenge against someone who hurt me, you know, personal revenge where I try to get back at them and hurt them, that means I'm not trusting God. That's me taking what belongs to God and trying to do it myself. And I'm going to botch it if I try that. I'm going to mess it up. Thankfully, we can leave it to God. God knows more than we do. He has more power than us. He always does what's right and at the right time. He will do the right thing at the right time. You may have heard the story or seen in the news or on TV or know somebody there. There was the church in Eastford, the congregational church that recently was burned down. You remember this just a few months ago? And the way that church responded was so awesome. The pastor was on the news and they interviewed other people in the church and they responded so perfectly. It turns out it was an arson. You know, somebody burned that church down on purpose, and they had also targeted other churches, okay? And as far as I know, that's sort of like still in the court system right now, right? I don't know if it's over yet. But when they responded, they said, we are not going to seek that person's harm. We forgive that person. Now, we're going to cooperate with the police. We want justice to be done. But if that person demonstrates repentance, we welcome them into our church if they want to do it, you know. It's like we hold no, we want no evil to come on that person. We will forgive. We will leave justice to God. And sometimes God uses the court system, you know. But they just responded so perfectly. And the pastor of the church told me that they used as a model the Amish church in Pennsylvania that somebody had come and shot the place up, and they responded with such forgiveness. And they're like, praise God, nobody got hurt in our church in Eastford. But we want to follow that model of radical forgiveness. It's radical, right? But that's how they responded. Okay, so it says, leave room for God's wrath. And then he has another quotation. This is from Proverbs 25. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. You know, if your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. So, and the idea is we should, instead of retaliating, leave the retaliation to God and then do good for the person. And these are just examples of what it is to do good for the person. Not every time that a person does evil to you, are you going to go to them and say, can I get you a sandwich? I mean, that might not be the right thing in that situation. But we need to give careful thought about what would be good for that person and then do it. The image of the burning coals, you know, like if we do good to them, we heap burning coals on their head. That image is used different ways in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's talking about how, you know, your kindness might melt away their meanness. when you respond in kindness, they might, take second thought and change their ways. Sometimes the best way to get rid of an enemy is to turn him into a friend. But sometimes that image is used to talk about, you know, God's wrath, God's judgment. So it could be talking about the way that you're giving that person an opportunity to repent, and if they don't, they have to answer to God for it. The main idea is that God is involved. On the one hand, God is a God of justice. He will punish the wicked. On the other hand, God often gives people more time. He gives them more opportunities to repent and to turn to him. So while we're waiting for Jesus to come back, we leave the retaliation to God and we do good towards people, even if the people are doing evil. And then look at verse 21. It's another one of those contrasts. Don't do this, but do that. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. The only way to conquer evil is with good. You can't conquer evil with evil. In The Lord of the Rings, at one point, Boromir, the son of the steward of Gondor, right? The son of the steward of Gondor, he is facing the wicked, evil Sauron, the evil lord of Mordor. And he thinks, Boromir thinks, if I can take the ring of evil power, if I can capture this ring, I can use this power to defeat evil. What's wrong with that? If you try to use evil to defeat evil, the evil defeats you. It turns you into evil, and the evil just continues. The evil will perpetuate if you use evil to defeat. You can't defeat evil with evil. You have to defeat evil with good. You have to do it God's way, with good, you know, out of love. This is what we as Christians need to understand. When Jesus faced evil, he didn't strike back in evil. He spoke the truth. He called out evil for what it is, but he didn't retaliate. He even prayed for God's forgiveness for his enemies while he was on the way to the cross. And that was us, really. Like, even though we weren't there 2,000 years ago, he was praying for us, Father, forgive them. And he died for us to offer us forgiveness. He entrusted himself to God. He looked for God's vindication. Everything that he does is out of love. Even when he gave his life for us sinners, especially when he gave his life for us sinners. One day he's going to come back. He will judge evil. He will save his people. He'll live with his people forever. That judgment and that salvation, that'll be out of his love too. Everything that he does is out of love. So brothers and sisters, let's follow that example. Let's seek to conquer evil with good. Let's conquer evil with good. Can you think of somebody right now who's trying to do harm to you? I pray that this isn't happening to you right now, but probably realistically, some of you here, somebody is trying to do harm towards you in some small way or some big way. Don't know. And if it's not happening now to you, it'll happen at some point. If that's going on, and when it does happen, can you carefully consider what's best for that person, what God wants for that person, and also what God wants for the community of everybody who's affected by it? Can you consider what God wants to do? And then with that in your mind, turn and do good for that person. That might mean offering a kind word. It might mean offering them a gift or a helpful deed, you know, doing something that benefits them. It might mean calling the police. It might mean inviting them to church or just listening to them talk. You have to give careful thought about what's the right thing in that situation, but then seek their good. Do what's good. There may be nothing you can do because some people won't let you live at peace. But let's give careful thought and not be conquered by evil, not be sucked into it, but to conquer evil with good. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, this difficult word, difficult teaching. But I pray that we would accept it and we would trust you. Help us to leave vengeance and wrath to God, to you, and help us to love other people the way that your Son loved us. I pray that your Spirit would give us strength to do this. We can't do it without your help. So we want to rely on you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing the last.